Welcome back to the FI Talk podcast. I am your host, Pa, and I'm here with my man, AJ. How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing pretty good today. An interesting topic that we have to talk about today. This episode is probably going to be more like a casual topic, talking about our summer travels and how the journey to FI helped us fund these travels and are able to experience these things like we did this summer. So I'm excited about this topic. And with that, you know, how are you doing?
I'm good. Equally excited as well. This is a topic that I've been looking forward to for a while, even though we're going to talk about money and everything. But you know, and I know that this topic is one of our favorites, you know, because traveling is something that is really, really big on our list. And it's something that we think is very important for us and for our families. So we just cannot wait to kind of talk to you guys about how we fund our travels, you know, what were the places that we went to and some of the experiences that we had over there.
But But before we get started, you know, when this journey to FI, everybody has reasons. We call it the why of FI. And for me, traveling is one of those whys. I mean, we are in this journey to reach financial independence. Right. And buy back our most valuable non-renewable resource, which is our time. That would give us more time to do things that we value. If work is not an option, you work because you want to, not because you have to. And you have the freedom to and the money to do the things that you enjoy most. And for me, traveling is actually one of those top why I'm on this journey to FI.
And I think we share the same why as well. Just like you said, you know, our times are very, very precious and valuable. And I'll tell you, man, I mean, when I was on my vacation, the thing that I was thinking about the most, and I kind of shared this with the other couple that we went with, was how us being on this FI journey made this thing possible. I was just sitting over there looking at my life, knowing that a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even have dreamt of being at the place where I was at that time without me having my finances in order. That was something that was constantly on my mind. And I was so thankful for everything that I did all these years, the books that I read, podcasts that I listened to, people that I talked to, you know, and all of these things. You know, I was so thankful that, look, I am able to be over here, a place that I never thought that I would be able to travel to, doing things that I never thought that I would be able to do. And one thing that I can tell you, man, I just used to like watch these music videos. I used to like see these movies, and I see people on these yachts. I'm like, man, this is one of the coolest things that I would like to do. But it was just a dream for me, you know. But when I actually got on the yacht and the thing started moving, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, man, you know, look at my life. I mean, I was just constantly thinking about what, you know, having my house in order has resulted to. And it was just something that I was so grateful for. And I'm sure you had the same feeling too.
Yeah, because when you go on that vacation, that's like, that was a goal, which was, at first, it was just a dream.
Yes.
You know, there's a difference between a dream and a goal. Once you, well, you can dream about a lot of things. You know, when I was a kid, all I wanted to dream about was getting on a plane, you know, you know, actually just getting on a plane. I don't care where it was going. I just wanted to get on a plane. But once you have your destination in mind, like the first time I got on a plane, I was coming to, I knew exactly where I was going. Mm-hmm. I knew where, you know, how I was going to get there. And that's the goal. That's a goal. The goal is like a roadmap of what you have already designed for yourself. And that's how traveling, that's how that dream became a reality for you, to be able to fly to this nice, you know, beach and be able to get on a yacht and enjoy time with your wife. And also the people that you travel with, you know, mm-hmm. that's also part of your why, you know, having that time to be able to enjoy these things with your valuable people, the people that mean a lot to you. It's really, really important. And that's probably why this journey to financial independence is so important. It's not only about just money and having more investments and having, you know, $1 million worth mm-hmm. net worth or $2 million net worth, but it's about having the freedom. Well, freedom means a lot mm-hmm. to different people. Well, one thing is freedom to be able to just buy a ticket to get somewhere. But another thing is the freedom to not have to ask your boss, you know, that, hey, I want to get here. You know, he has to approve that, you know, he has right. to approve your time, you know. So those are the things that why this journey is pretty important. I know we are not far yet, but the more you get on this journey, the more stable your finances are and the more kind of like a freedom, you know, there's some financial freedom at every level.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing also that I was thinking about, you know, just like you were just saying, even though we are not at FI yet, but for me, in my mind, I am living my best life right now. I don't necessarily have to wait until I'm at FI and start doing all these things that I've been dreaming about when I was a kid. Not really. When you are on FI, even if you are not on FI, but you have your finances in order, you'll be able to kind of like sit down and be like, okay, if I spend so and so, it's not going to affect me that much. So I should be able to do this. Like what I was telling, you know, the couple that I went with, I told them I'm living my retirement right now because the things that I'm able to do right now, I don't do everything, but the things that I know that I am able to do financially right now, these are things that people are dreaming about mm-hmm. to do when they're 65 years old, because right now they cannot afford it. They believe that they can afford it when they're 65. Some of these things I'm able to do right now. And that's the beauty of it. I just kind of think that hopefully this will be an inspiration for anybody that's listening out there. Just try to get your finances in order. You'll be surprised what you will be able to do and places you'll be able to go.
Well, you know, I totally agree. It's not just about the destination.
Yes.
It's about the journey. And it's exactly. a long journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you have to enjoy every step of the way. Otherwise, you're going to get to FI and have all this money and be disappointed that, hey, this is probably not all I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
But if once you're out of debt, once you're starting to build your, you have an emergency fund, at that point, you got some security mm-hmm. to be able to spend on things, you know, that you value. And traveling is one of them. I mean, I spent a lot of money on my summer travels with my right. family. Travel that we did this summer was once in a lifetime, especially exactly. for my kids. Exactly. You know, they had a great time. They've never been to Africa. They've always, you know, probably dreamed of going to Africa. But can you imagine at 12 or 10 years old, you know, and just getting up and getting on a plane and going to another continent that you knew nothing about and just having so much fun, you know, just with nature, you know, at the beach or exactly. just playing with farm animals. You know, exactly. my daughter wanted a baby goat, you know, she wanted to bring back
right,
a baby
right,
goat.
So right.
those are things that I feel like they are going to treasure for the rest yeah. of their life.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part. And, you know, I just want to give you kudos, man, that, I mean, you know, just kind of, you know, knowing you and where you came from, you know, in terms of your financial journey to where you are now, to be able to give your kids this dream, you know, or to be able to live, you know, this dream of theirs, you know, even though they are young right now, they may not fully comprehend everything that's going on, but trust me, man, I believe they will appreciate it, you know, a whole lot, you know, when they grow older, and they will be like, you know, I got to live some of my dreams when I was young. And this was all because my parents were on this journey of financial independence and they were able to afford these things. And we were able to take all these nice trips that they will probably be, you know, like kind of talking to their friends, and like all their friends will be like, oh, I want to go to this place. And they'll be like, oh, I've already been there. You know, I was there, you know, when I was 15, or I was there when I was 8.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw I saw my daughter, my older daughter was texting one of her friends. She's like, oh, yeah, you went to Gambia. I was like, yeah, have you ever been there? She goes, no. It's like, you should go.
Exactly. You know, kind of exactly.
But yeah, thank you so much for the kudos. I feel like 10 years ago, I was in such a financial mess that to even be able to think about traveling with my whole family, and, you know, just all the expenses were done without debt. You know, you go and you come back and you have no debt. What does Dave Ramsey say about that? You know, when you go on vacation, the debt doesn't follow you back. You know, instead you pay your vacation in cash.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I've never, you know, I didn't think that 10 years from, you know, my really financial struggles was going to be, you know, I was going to be able to do that. But, you know, it was not a sprint. Like I said earlier, it was a step-by-step journey, you know.
Right.
It was just a marathon.
Definitely.
Starting with the little steps, you know, getting $1,000 in the bank, being able to pay off all your debt. I mean, and it took a while. I mean, this journey is not easy.
No. You
know, it took a while. Yeah. By the time I got to, you know, my net worth was negative 19,000. By the time I got it down to zero, you know, that was a point of some type of a freedom. Mm-hmm. And then when you get your net worth to, like, you know, six figures, another type of freedom. When you get your emergency fund, you get another type of freedom. So I feel like, you know, this journey is not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And it takes a while. And you just have to, you know, do it one step at a time.
Right.
One step at a time.
Right. Last episode, we talked about celebrating milestones. Did you celebrate your milestone when, you know, your net worth was at zero now? It's not negative anymore?
I don't remember celebrating that one. I remember celebrating when, because I was so focused on paying off debt.
Yep.
So I did have some money in investment, but like a 401k, you know, 403b. Mm-hmm. But that was pushing my net worth up. So even though my net worth was at zero, I was still in debt.
Right.
So I didn't celebrate that milestone.
I see.
When we got out of debt, that was a milestone that was worth celebrating. Yeah, yep, absolutely. But I feel like people need to celebrate these milestones.
Yeah.
I mean, these are really hard things that you've worked really hard for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they take hard work.
Yeah, so, without a doubt,
you know, don't just go crazy and buy yourself a brand new car once you got out of debt. You know,
right.
That's not what I'm saying, but at least, you know, celebrate it, enjoy it. Part of what the reason to have a goal, part of the joy of having a goal is checking it off your list.
Exactly. Yeah. So one thing that I would like us to kind of talk about a little bit about our travels is, how was it that we were able to pay for these travels? You know, we talked about how this FI journey has helped us to kind of get to where we are today, to be able to go to all these nice places. I went to Mexico. You know, I went to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico.
Nice.
Very, very beautiful town, you know, with a lot of things to do, beautiful, you know, scenery and everything. And it was paradise, man. You know, it was one of those all-inclusive things. So, you know, it was awesome. So, but, you know, just how we funded these things, like, there are different ways. I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously, I mean, if you have the cash, you know, just go ahead and do it. But for me and you, with this journey that we are on, even though I would probably like to say we are students of Dave Ramsey, you know, because that's how we both started, and we know his stance on some things that, you know, other financial advisors, you know, out there are kind of advising on, or people in the FI journey, you know, are kind of doing, which is tapping into credit card rewards.
Yeah, you know? I like what you said about being a student. Okay, I love Dave Ramsey. You know, his plan was what got me out of debt.
Yes, me
but
too.
As Jim Rohn always says, be a student, not a follower.
That's true.
So you learn from a lot of people. I learned from a lot of people. Dave Ramsey was big, big deal for me. You know, we both took his class.
Yep.
And at that point in my life, that's exactly what I needed. That structure is what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a student of other people. So I'm not a follower of any one particular guru, but being a student to be able to tap into different people's ideas and put it together. And it becomes mine. It becomes my journey. And that's what I like about what you said, being a student and not a follower.
Exactly. Yeah. So do you want to like kind of touch on, you know, your summer travel, you know, where you went to and, you know, how, you know, you kind of, you know, got there and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we we flew from Seattle to Chicago and then from Chicago to Brussels. That was our second layover. So this was a long flight.
Yeah,
it was at least 30 hours. And then from Brussels to Senegal, Senegal to Gambia. And in Gambia, we met a lot of family. I have family there. My wife has family there. Our kids were able to meet their cousins, meet their aunts and uncles, meet people that they probably just heard about, or even people that they never heard about.
Right.
You know, just be able to join the dots of, you know, this is the part, this is on mommy's family side, this is on daddy's family side. And they were able to stay with my wife's family and my family. And that just brings a lot of relationship for them, to be able to have this one-on-one relationship with these people that without this trip, they probably would have never even thought about. And another thing we did was there was another couple with three kids, just about the same age as my kids. And they also went around the same time and we were able to hang out. So they were able to hang out with people that they were already friends with here, and they were able to make new friends over there. And we were also able to just rent a hotel just for the kids to have fun, to go to the pool or go to the beach. You know, you were talking about paradise.
Yeah.
There was this one beach that we went to called the Ngala Lodge.
Yes, I've heard about that.
I have a friend in Chicago who was also there at that time. And she just called me and said, hey, do you want to meet up? And I was like, where are you going to meet at? He goes, there's this hotel. They have a private pool that we can just basically rent out the private pool. And we did that. We joined and we got with another family. So three families, we went and just rent out the pool. Basically, just sitting in the pool, you're seeing the Atlantic Ocean, you know, just right there. You're in the pool. Mm. And then, you know, they could bring the food out to the pool and you can order dinner. We did some fun things for the kids. And we also met with a lot of people that were family that, you know, that we haven't seen in a long, long time.
Well, talk to me about the food, man. I love food. that's one of the reasons why I like traveling.
So there's two parts of food. There's the cultural food, the African food, which was everywhere. You know, we stayed with family. My wife's family also was there. So they can make these, you know, exotic African food. Mm-hmm. But the kids also craved American food, you know, hamburgers, you know, chicken, fried chicken, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, going to these hotels and, you know, going to these nice restaurants out there. We didn't have a KFC, but we have House of Chicken, which was really good. And we didn't have like, you know, burger fast foods, but Ngala Lodge the burgers were really good. So, you know, the food was nice. We were able to have different varieties depending on where we go. Actually, I'm probably going to get into this, but we did also travel to another country in Senegal by, you know, driving. So, you know, we did do that. But I want you to touch on your travel, you know, and how you got there and what it was like when you got there.
It was awesome, man. I mean, it didn't take us, you know, that long to get to Mexico. It was just a 4-hour flight from Seattle. But when we were leaving Seattle, it was like early in the morning. Our flight was like around 8 o'clock. And you know how the weather in Seattle is, you know, in the morning, it can be very, very chilly. So we were wearing our sweaters and everything. But dude, when we got to Mexico, man, that place was hot.
Oh, nice.
so we got out of those things, man, really quick, you know. But I mean, it was everything that we expected it to be, man. Or even way past our expectations. The hotels, I mean, they're well maintained, especially, you know, during this COVID season. You know, they had all the precautions in place and everything. And we did get an upgrade, you know, when we went there with our room, you know, because
how did that happen?
Well, when we went there, There was a little bit of, you know, confusion, and the room that they had for us, they said that it wasn't ready. So we had to sit and wait a little bit for the room to be ready. And me being Mr. Patient, I was willing to sit down and wait for however long it takes. My wife, on the other hand, she is not Mrs. Patient. I can tell you that. You know, so pretty quick, she was starting to, you know, kind of get aggravated, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I mean, she kind of went a little ballistic on them, you know, and from there, they kind of got scared and everything. And they were like, okay, we'll give you an upgrade. We'll get you a complimentary, you know, couples massage, you know, and all of these things.
You so, did the massage and everything?
Yeah, they gave us a complimentary, you know, couples massage based on, you know, my wife's reactions. I was like, well, you know what? I think you did a pretty good acting over there. So maybe you should be doing this everywhere we go, and we can be getting this free stuff. You know?
But you guys were tired from the flight.
Oh, we were tired.
So you just needed a place to rest. Exactly. And I don't blame her for
exactly.
You know, yeah, for that.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, you know, yeah. You got there, your room should be ready by the time you get
exactly.
there. But you know, travel, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the only negative, you know, from the whole trip, you know, and from there. I mean, it was that day, you know, one thing that they did that was very, very nice. The time that we got there was past lunchtime, you know, but they were able to accommodate us, kind of gave us the lunch, which was awesome, you know. And then from there, you know, we just went like through the town and just walked around, you know, smelled the air, you know, ate some of the street food, you know, and it was good. And I don't know whether I should say this on the podcast or not, you know, we accidentally, you know, got into a club. You know, I mean, we were just walking
around.
Nothing
wrong with that.
You know, and,
you were on
you know,
vacation,
right? You know, so we just kind of, you know, looked at this place, and it looked like the restaurant, but there was music playing on top. So we were like, you know, let's just check it out. You know, see what kind of food they have over there. And once we get in, you know, the guy told us, "Hey, all the fun is happening upstairs. So if you guys want to go over there and you know have yourself a good time, you know, you can go ahead." So we just went out, you know, checked it out. The music was awesome, man. You know,
man,
so,
you were on vacation,
right?
That's what it is all about.
So
just
we were there,
a good
you know.
Time.
But you know, we did try to be very, very careful, you know, because of the COVID. So we just stand and at one little corner, you know, okay. where we enjoyed ourselves, you know, a lot. So, you know, I mean, it was really good. You know,
yeah.
If I had to do it again, I wouldn't even worry about the money.
Wow.
You know, and just like what we were talking about, how we funded these things, I'm sure. You have, you know, done this before, you know, also we did use our credit card reward points.
Oh, nice.
That's how we were able to fund this trip.
So first of all, let's break it down for somebody who doesn't know what a credit card reward, travel rewards is all about.
Yeah.
So basically you sign up for these credit cards and they give you these points, these bonus points, if you meet a certain spending limit. Just a warning is that you have to have your money game in order
right.
to be able to do this with credit cards. You can't be in debt. You can't be paying interest, because if you do pay interest on these credit cards, it just wipes out all the benefits.
That is
so
true.
So both Pa and I are people who pay our credit cards in full every month. And that's mm-hmm. really important when you're trying to do this with credit card rewards. But if you do pay your credit card in full and every month and you don't pay any interest, they'll give you these points for spending reaching the spending limits or these bonuses. And those are points that you can use for travel and you
right.
can use for hotel stays and those kind of things. And that's what Pa used.
And do you remember the first time that I discovered these points and I call you? I'm like, dude, I think I'm about to do something really crazy, but I just wanted to, you know, check with you first to see, you know, what you think about it. I just, you know, came across these things called, you know, credit card points, you know, reward points, that if you spend a certain amount at a certain period of time, they will give you these bonus points and you'll be able to use it. Just like I said in the beginning, we were students of Dave Ramsey. So we were told to, you know, cut off all our credit cards and all of this stuff. So when I saw it, it looked good to me and I had confidence in myself that, you know, this will not be a problem. I was like, dude, what do you think, man? I think I'm about to do something crazy. And you were just like, dude, I'm already doing this. So what are you talking about?
It did catch my wife off guard
right.
when I tried to sell her on this plan to
right.
do credit card rewards. She was like, you're not doing credit card. We don't do credit card, you know, because right. we're students of Dave Ramsey. But I felt like Dave Ramsey has helped me to get to a point where I'm able to pay my credit card bill in full every month. And that's mm-hmm. really important when you're trying to do this mm-hmm. credit card reward. So basically you sign up for ones like Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Amex Platinum or whatever credit card that has these bonus, either the ultimate rewards or the Amex points. And then once you meet a certain spending limit, you get these points. So these points are worth, you know, a certain dollar amount. So you can either use it three ways. I think you can use it through, you know, the portal for that credit card issuer. They have a mm-hmm. portal where you can just go and buy your tickets from there. That's mm-hmm. what I did when I went to Camp Fi in 2020, was I just, you know, went to the portal and bought my ticket to Gainesville, Florida to go to Camp Fi. But you can also transfer these points to partners of these credit cards, which sometimes is a little bit more value for to transfer them out. And then you can also cast these points out. But, you know, when you cast them out, you don't get as much value. But you just got to be careful. You just got to make sure that you're paying your credit card in full every month.
Right. So somebody like you, you know, you've been more into it than I have been, because just like I told you, you know, when I first discovered it, you know, you were the first person that I checked with and you told me that you were already doing it. I mean, how would you recommend somebody to use these points after they have already accumulated all these points? I mean, like, how will you recommend somebody to use it? Like, do you think it is more beneficial to, like, if you have the cash, just go ahead and use the cash and save the points, you know, for something else? Or like somebody like you, you know, you just went on an international trip. Do you think that, you know, using the points for international trip was like, how to call it, is the wise thing to do? Or do you prefer to use the points on just like local, you know, travels, you know, and that kind of stuff?
Well, I didn't use the points for my international trip. We just had cash that we had planned for it to pay for everything in cash, and it was there. But I didn't do enough research to find out, because we have very limited airlines that go all the way to where we were going.
Right, because it's far.
It is far. So far. Yeah, we have very limited. So if it was a destination like Paris, you know, a destination mm-hmm. like, you know, Mexico, you know, some right. places in Mexico, you know, there's you have a lot of options for which flight, which partners, which airlines to go with. But we only had very limited. I think we had like three or four, you know. Right. So I didn't do enough research to see if these points can be transferred over to those. So we just paid cash, save our points, and we're going to use it, you know, for, you know, some other things. Some of these points don't ever expire, so you can use them, you know. So
right,
yeah.
But for the most part too, you know, like let's say you do have, let's say, 100,000 points mm-hmm. and I mean you just want to lower the cost of whatever travel that you are about to embark on. Let's say you want to go to Africa and the ticket is costing you $2,000 mm-hmm. but you have this 100,000 points. I mean, if I use the 100,000 points, that will probably take off maybe, you know, $600 or $700, you know, from my ticket. I think that would be wise to do that. I mean, if you are not, you know, planning on, you know, using those points for anything else, you know, that this is the thing that you are saving the points for, and now it is here and it's going to lower the fare that I have to pay. Like, don't you think that is something that is kind of wise to do, or like you would like to differ on that?
No, I don't think it was. I thought about it. But I mm-hmm. felt like those points could be more valuable
right.
if used somewhere else.
Right.
You know, if I use it for, you know, like my Amex points could be transferred to Delta and I can use it on a flight to somewhere else where it would be more valuable than if I use it on a Brussels Airlines, which is not a partner, you know, of this Amex. So I think there's certain, you know, there's. You can check the value, you can kind of like do some research, but there's certain things that are more worth using the points. So you get more value on those 100,000 points if you use it that way rather than if you use it on another way. So we chose to pay our trip in cash. But when I was going to Florida, I used the points for the whole trip, which I see the value in that. So
right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think.
How about you? How did you use your points? Did you transfer them or did you just buy them through the portal?
I bought them through the portal. At that time, I wasn't like really aware about this whole transfer thing. I wanted to check with you, but I think at that time you already left. So I was like, you know what? I'll probably just, you know, wait till next time and stuff like that. But I did buy it, you know, straight from the portal. And I used my Chase Ultimate Rewards. That was the one that I used with my Chase. What's the name of the Chase card again?
Sapphire Preferred.
Yeah, the Chase Sapphire Preferred. You know, that's the one that I have. And I really like that one, man. You know, I really do. I think the points are very, very valuable when it comes to the dollar amount and stuff like that. You know, that's the difference with the Amex. You know, what you can use for $80,000 on the Chase Sapphire, for the Amex,
80,000 points.
Yeah, 80,000 points. You know, for the Amex Platinum, you will have to use it for maybe 120 or 130,000 points.
The transfer thing is like basically you find out from their website to see if they are partners with that credit card issuer, you know, and then you can, I feel like you're going to create an account. When we transferred to some points to Hilton, when we went on vacation, we transferred some points to Hilton. We had to create a Hilton account and be able to transfer it to that Hilton. And then we were able to buy our, you know, hotel, pay for our hotel with Hilton points, but the points transferred from being Amex points to Hilton points. So that's how it kind of works. So they do partnership with these companies. It's definitely very interesting. And I feel like, you know, being that travel is so important to a lot of people, this is one way that you can almost travel almost anywhere in the world for almost free. So you still got to pay taxes and, you know, those kind of those fees. But, you know, basically you can travel to Mexico using your points and maybe your taxes and fees would be like $200 or $300. You know?
Exactly. So. And yeah, that's actually what I paid. You know, I did use, for the most part, I used most of my points that I had, you know, on that card. And all I paid was the thing that you just said, you know, just the taxes and that kind of stuff. So.
You know. What about the resort? How did you pay for that resort? Did you use travel rewards or did you just pay the resort in cash, the hotel?
I think I paid the flight in cash and I paid for the resort with the card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Because, yeah, the flight was not expensive at all.
I remember having this conversation with you and a mutual friend way back in December when we went out on a walk. I have been procrastinating about this travel, my summer travel, for a long time. Just pushing it out. And he said, just write a date. Put a date on your calendar and get it done. Yep. So after that conversation with him and you, I came home, put a date on the calendar, and we were able to get it done. So you just see what you can do when you put your mind to it. When you have a goal and you have a deadline to that goal and you are able to accomplish it. And be able to, you know, fund it, come back with no credit card or no debt. You know, it's just a beautiful thing.
That's just the power of a made up mind. You know, when you make up your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be surprised what are some of the things that you'll be able to do, you know. But like this thing that we're talking about here about credit card reward points and all of these things. I mean, we are not telling anybody to go and do it. It's not for everybody. And it is something that, like AJ said, you have to be very, very disciplined when you are doing this, making sure that you are very responsible also with these cards because they can ruin your life. It has happened to so many people, you know. So make sure that your finances are in order. You are able to pay off the balance, you know, every time that you use the card. And what we are saying here is not financial advice for you to go and get it. We are just talking about our experiences. For the most part, we do have our finances in order. For the most part, we are not falling victim to, you know, these credit card rewards.
I feel like in order to be able to play this credit card reward game, sometimes it could be a game, but in order to be able to play it, you have to have certain things in order. Yes. You know, you have to pay off all your debt. You can't be paying 18%, 20% interest in credit card and you're trying to play this game. No, you know, that's not going to work. Pay off all your debt. once you do that and you have an emergency fund and you make sure that you're disciplined, you don't just go and make expenses because you have this credit limit. For us, it's more like, this is something that we were going to spend cash on anyway.
Exactly.
So we put it on this credit card, get the points, and then that's how we were able to accumulate enough points to travel for almost free. But you have to get all of those things in order first to be able to do this. And if you don't feel comfortable getting credit cards, all power to you. Don't do it. I feel like, you know, you can travel using cash if you save up for it. You have a goal in mind that you want to go to this place around this time and you save. Let's say you want to go to Hawaii, okay, next year. Mm-hmm. In 12 months from today, you want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
It costs $6,000. You put aside $500 a month, and that's $6,000 by the time you're ready to use it. So that's another way that you can fund this instead of having to use the credit cards. But if you're listening to this and you're intrigued and you want us to do an episode solely on travel rewards, send us an email. You can send us an email at fitalkpodcast@gmail.com. If you have a question, one thing I always like to know with people smarter than me is, what are you reading? And yesterday I just texted you. I was like, hey, what are you reading? You know,
right, if
you need to know what we're reading, if you need to know how we're doing in our journey, just send us an email at fitalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want us to link any of these things that we talked about in the show notes, you can find them at fitalkpodcast.com.
All these things that we are saying, if you've heard our stories, you know, we were there, you know, where you are right now. We have moved on to the other side and we know how good it is. That's why, you know, we're doing this episode for free, sharing all this knowledge that we have learned all these years for free to you guys, just for you guys to be able to get on the other side. Because I mean, I can tell you, I don't want to get back to that other side, man. I like this side better. So, and I want everybody to get on this side. And the way you do that is, you know, by having that discipline that we've been like kind of talking about, learn as much as you can. You know, I'm not saying that you should follow our advice because we're not financial advisors, but if we say anything that you find intriguing and would like to, you know a little bit more about it, you can go ahead and get in touch with us. We wouldn't mind, you know, like maybe setting up a Zoom call or something with you and just go step by step with you on, you know, most of these things that we are talking about. But just like I said, I mean, this journey is not something that's easy, but once you start having your things in order, paying off all your debt, having that emergency fund, you know, funding all these accounts that you have, it does feel pretty good. And I will hope and wish for everybody, you know, to be able to achieve something like that.
I like that you're calling everybody to come join us in this journey.
Yes.
We are probably not on the same place in this journey.
Yes.
You like where you are right now, mm-hmm, better than where you were before. But Pa, I got to tell you, it's going to get even better. This journey is not finished yet.
Right.
And it's going to get better and better. And the more you get closer to your FI number, the more freedom you have.
Right.
You know, the more options you have, the more you can choose to do or not do certain things. So it's going to get better, of course.
Yeah, without a doubt. And anytime I talk to you, man, it gives me hope, you know.
It gives a lot of other people hope too.
Exactly.
I hope it gives a lot of other people hope too. That's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, for the most part. And if I look at your story, you know, like knowing you for a long time and knowing where you came from in terms of your financial journey to where you are today, I mean, that is an inspiration for anybody that has known you for a while, you know. And the thing that I like about it also, you are pretty open about sharing your story. You are not embarrassed about it. You know, you believe that somebody can learn from your story. If you can do it, anybody can do it. Just kind of look at you now. You are at a point where you are fully funding your retirement accounts and all of these things. You know, this was something that I believe that you did not even knew that it existed, you know.
Absolutely.
Right. And now you are actually there, you know, with no excuses. I mean, you can have all the excuses you want. You know, you're a family man. you work full time and all of these kind of things, you know, you can find every excuse in the book, but you did not, you know, you are out here, you know, making it happen. So I think it's something that anybody can do, honestly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this journey is for everyone. Obviously, our incomes are not the same, but also our expenses are not the same. You know, you can see someone making $1 million a year, but he's also spending way more than what you're spending. So yeah, you know, the journey, sometimes you do wish that you knew about this journey sooner, but you can't change that. We can't go back and change
that's
that.
That's true.
You know, the best time to invest was 20 years ago. Then the second best time is to start right now.
And
wherever you are right now, wherever you're at right now, that's where you need to start.
Exactly.
If you're in a hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
You know, once you get in a hole, if you're in debt, stop racking up more debt. Yeah. You know, try to figure out a way to get out of debt.
Exactly.
You know, just stop digging for a minute. And then you build up on that and build up on that. And by the before you know it, it accumulates fast. You know, this journey is not, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's at some point you get to a point where, you know, you feel the pain. And you want to give up, but don't give up.
Yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
It gets better.
Exactly.
It gets more freedom. You know, you get more freedom just by having $1,000, you have a little bit freedom.
Yep.
Imagine you have $250,000 in retirement and $30,000 in your savings account. That's a little bit more freedom than if you're in debt. So
I tell you what, that would make me sleep much better than being in debt. I can tell you that. You know,
absolutely.
That would definitely make me sleep much better. You know, but and you should have a why. You know, what is your why? I mean,
you know, maybe we should do an episode on our whys.
Yeah,
I feel like the why is, you know, it's not only one thing.
Nope.
Obviously, you want freedom. Obviously, you want the financial security, but. Mm-hmm. It's not only one thing, you know.
Exactly.
You want to have the time, basically buying your time, which is your most valuable non-renewable resource.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of it.
Yeah, I know, definitely. And I mean, just thinking about what we are talking about today, travels. What are places in this world that you want to go to?
Oh, man.
I mean, I believe each and every one of us has a destination where we would like to go. You know, we've either been seeing it on TV, you know, we've been kind of dreaming about it. Somebody told us about it and all of these things. There is a particular place that you want to go. I mean, what are you going to do to get there?
Do you keep a list?
List of places that I want to go?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have a book that I write, you know, all these places. But now I've graduated from a book. Now I have turned it into a Word document now. So I just have it on a Word document and I share that Word document with my wife. So whenever she hears about a place or she knows about a place, she can also write it down also. So we both like kind of share it together and know this place that we want to go. The other day we were looking at a place in Greece.
Very nice.
It's one of the islands just off of the coast of Greece. It's called Santorini. Dude,
nice.
That place is beautiful, man.
Wow.
So that is a place that we just recently added to our list, and it's a place that we would love to go. But at the same time too, I would love to go somewhere with you. You know, you and your wife, you know, we will definitely love to have you guys on a couple's trip somewhere beautiful, you know, somewhere nice. We have good food, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So
we got to make that happen.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we got to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll probably keep the people, our audience on the podcast, you know, up to date on our travel plans.
Yes.
But I know that I do have a list as well.
Oh,
and,
good.
And I'm pretty. We need to compare lists and just see where our lists kind of like are the same, and then we can just kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Make that trip happen. Just
That's fine.
Just the four of us, you and your wife and me and my wife.
I have a feeling that our list will be very, very similar for some reason. I just have that feeling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I would like to have the audience send us an email. If you have a list of places that are on your travel list, send it to us. We want to see. We want to know where you want to travel to.
Maybe and we can talk about it.
And we can talk about it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So please send us an email, fitalkpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to see your list.
Yeah, definitely.
We'd like to engage more of our audience.
Yeah.
And if this episode has been helpful, hopefully a little bit entertaining and inspiring to you, we would like to hear that as well. Send us an email at fitalkpodcast@gmail.com and share this episode with a friend or a family member, you know, that you think would be beneficial from would benefit from this episode.
Since we are talking about travel, I was just looking at this series that I'm watching on Netflix right now. It's called The World's Most Amazing Vacation Rentals. Dude, you should try to look at that.
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's called The World's Most Amazing Vacation Rentals.
Okay.
I will add that to my watch list. That will blow your mind.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I'm so big into travel that is what I do on my spare time nowadays. I just go online and start looking at these travel places.
Absolutely.
Know? So, anybody listening to this, you want to check it out on Netflix. It's called The World's Most Amazing Vacation Rentals. It's amazing. All right. So I guess we'll go ahead and call it a wrap. Until some other time, we'll be back and we'll talk to you guys then.
Thank you very much for listening.